Ed Davey, I'm the MP for Kingston and Surbiton, and I'm leader of the Liberal Democrats.
First of all, Sarah Olney, your Treasury spokeswoman, is calling for an inquiry against the Chancellor. Could you expand a little on why that is and what you hope to get from that?
Well, I think actually we've gone even beyond an inquiry. I think the Chancellor's position is in serious question now. The budget that he put forward was absolutely wrong. It was wrong because it was unfair, and it has led to a real catastrophe in the financial markets, which is going to hit homeowners, people with mortgages, very seriously. So Liberal Democrats are opposing the government's budget, and we want a change. And if that doesn't come, the Chancellor will have to go.
There are questions over whether or not he met with hedge fund managers who have profited from the falling pound. I'm wondering, is it possible to safeguard democracy from wealthy lobbyists at all at this stage of late-stage capitalism?
It was really alarming to see the Chancellor meeting hedge fund managers, sipping champagne with them, when these same people had profited from the falling pound, which came about because the Chancellor's reckless budget. While it's impossible to say if there was any direct wrongdoing, it was wrong for him to do that. And the appearance, frankly, has further undermined confidence in this government.
You've spoken about how people in Sutton, Bexley, Kingston and Redbridge are home to the highest proportion of properties owned with a mortgage. Could you tell us a bit more about how those people will be affected?
Yeah, Liberal Democrats are very worried that the government's economic incompetence is leading to higher mortgage rates, and higher than they would otherwise have been. You know, there is an upward pressure on interest rates around the world because of inflation. But what we're seeing in the UK is a much more serious situation. That global problem has been made far worse by the Conservative government's incompetence. And in a number of London boroughs, including Kingston and Sutton, I think people with high mortgages are going to really suffer because of this Conservative mismanagement. So we've got to see a reversal of many of their policies. And we've got to see confidence restored to our country.
Is a reversal enough at this point?
Well, personally, I'd like to see this Conservative government go. Personally, I think there should be a general election so we can get rid of this Conservative government. But before that happens, we do need economic stability restored. The government should listen to the opposition, should listen to the British people, and should do the right thing. And if we can restore confidence, if we can make sure that people's energy bills are properly protected over the winter, so people get the help they need, then I think the best way of helping people long term is to get rid of these Conservatives.
Moving on to e-bikes, Kingston has launched its own e-bike scheme, and so has the Mayor of London. In August, Kingston said it had no current plans to introduce e-bikes in the borough after residents started complaining about the number that had been left on the pavement after use. But on World Car Free Day, they introduced a scheme. Guide Dogs for the Blind are now saying that accidents because of dumped e-bikes are becoming more commonplace. How can this situation be averted?
Yeah, I've had a number of constituents write to me about this, and so I've contacted the council because it is a serious situation. We don't want accidents happening, and particularly for people who have visual impairment, people who are blind, we need to make sure they are looked after. Now, the council tell me that there's only one scheme that's actually being backed by Kingston Council, and that's a scheme by Human Forest. And that e-bike scheme has been endorsed by the council, although it's not owned or operated by the council. And they're clear that if people have problems, if they see, for example, the parking of the bikes being a potential hazard, they can contact Human Forest, who've now put out their numbers. They've given me a telephone number. It's 028 157 7491, and they will come and clear up those bikes that are improperly parked. It's a bit more complicated, as I've discovered when I've looked into the problem for people, because there are other e-bike schemes in London operated by different companies. For example, there's a company called Lime, and we've seen some bikes from Lime causing problems in Kingston, even though there's no agreement with Kingston Council. So again, we're following that up. Kingston Council will follow that up, because we do need to make sure that these e-bikes don't cause problems.
If the bikes being cleared up due to Human Forests bikes require altruists to actually speak to the company, does that actually go far enough? I don't see many people doing that. Are you speaking to Human Forest?
Well, I've spoken to Councillor Ian Manders, who's the councillor overseeing this at Kingston Council, and they are taking this very seriously. They are making sure that people like Human Forest are responding to people. We've had some reassurances, apparently, that you know they are responding to feedback. In other areas, they've removed parking bays or added parking bays. They've consulted with individuals and institutions like the Royal National Institute for Blind People. So I get the impression from what I've been told by Kingston Council that they're taking this issue seriously. They do want to give people the option of being able to hire e-bikes. I mean, there's something quite exciting about that. We do need to, you know, encourage people to take healthy transport options that help deal with congestion. I think we all recognise that. But we need to do it in a safe way. And I think there's a learning here, and we need to learn quickly because we don't want accidents.
You said yesterday that current Energy Secretary Jacob Rees-Mogg is ignorant of renewables and energy markets, and he's dangerous because of that. Could you please expand on what you believe he's missing and how you approach similar issues during your tenure as Energy Secretary?
Yeah, when I was Energy Secretary between 2012 and 2015, that was when Britain massively increased our renewable electricity. And I'm very proud of the Liberal Democrat record, where we got tens of billions of pounds of investment and became the world leader in offshore wind. And we got the price down. So the price of renewables now is the cheapest form of electricity. I was hoping the Conservatives would continue that record. And I'm afraid they've been very, very weak. And I've listened to successive Conservative energy ministers, not just Jacob Rees-Mogg, and I've been very unimpressed. They've not pursued renewables, even though that's the cheapest form of electricity. They've not done anywhere near enough on insulating people's homes. And we need to do that, because if we do that, we cut people's energy bills, we reduce carbon emissions, and we make Britain a more secure country. We don't have to import so much gas. So there isn't absolutely no doubt that the best energy policy possible to cut people's bills, to make our country more independent, is a combination of renewables and energy insulation. And Jacob Rees-Mogg doesn't seem to understand that.
Fracking has been given more of a go-ahead for the UK. The climate minister claims that it's good for the environment. You gave the fracking go-ahead in 2012, and you voted against plans to ban fracking, and now the Lib Dems are running a manifesto which is anti-fracking. Could you please explain the U-turn?
Yeah, well, it's not a U-turn, actually. What I did in government was implement some tough environmental regulations, which basically said to the fracking industry, if you want to go ahead, you've got to meet these regulations. And one regulation which I put in was about earthquakes. And I said, you know, you can't have big earthquakes caused by fracking. And as I suspected, the fracking industry hasn't been able to meet those environmental regulations. And it's now clear that it really can't go ahead. It's not able to meet the standards that people expect, that communities expect. So that's why, faced with that evidence, they've not been able to comply. It's really clear that the fracking industry should be stopped, and we should focus our attention in going green and reducing fossil fuels through renewables, through insulation.
Do you believe that Ofgem is currently powerful enough to go against these companies when the government is for it?
Well, Ofgem really won't be able to stop fracking if the Conservatives decide to push ahead with it. They are the government of the day. And that's why I urge people, and why Liberal Democrats are pushing pressure on the government. We don't want to see fracking. It's failed to meet the environmental tests, and it will be far better for reducing people's energy bills, for making sure we have the energy supply we need, if we have a policy based on massive expansion of renewables, solar, wind, offshore wind, onshore wind, tidal power, as well as a big investment in energy efficiency, insulating people's homes.
When it comes to the Cambridge estate, is there harmony finally with residents after 10 years of back and forth on the designs about the scale and the height of the development?
Well, the Cambridge Road estate regeneration is extremely exciting. Some of the homes there really are very cold and damp and need to be replaced. And we need more social housing. And the scheme that's got the huge backing of residents, because Kingston Council, Kingston Liberal Democrats, consulted them properly and fully, that scheme is now about to start. And it has taken a bit of time, and I don't think it's taken quite 10 years, but it's taken a bit of time. But that's been right. We've had to consult people. We've had to make sure that the plans are what residents there want and that the numbers add up. And it is the most exciting project I've seen in the borough for all my time here. It will, you know, over the next few years, see really high quality social housing provided. We've now got the largest council house building scheme in Kingston for over 40 years. So this is what we need. It's what people who need affordable housing really want. And we're very excited.
Have you seen a drop in the number of people coming to you with worries about this development?
I've had very few, indeed. During the ballot, because the residents had a vote on whether it should go ahead, I spoke to a lot of residents who'd been involved in helping design the project. And, you know, on an 86% turnout, far more than you get in elections, over 73%, I think, of people voted for it. So it was a massive democratic endorsement of these plans. And I think, you know, people have got behind it. Now, there's always, as we go forward, it's really important that the council engage with residents and continue to engage in residents, so the plans are delivered as well as they possibly can be. And I'll be watching out to make sure that happens. But so far, so good.